Now we're going to talk with Dr. Leonard Horowitz tonight about many things. Dr. Leonard Horowitz is an internationally known authority in the overlapping fields of public health, behavioral science, emerging diseases, and bioterrorism. He received his doctorate in medical dentistry from Tufts University School of Dental Medicine in 1977, and he was awarded a postdoctoral fellowship in behavioral science at the University of Rochester, earning a Master of Public Health degree, also from Harvard University. And he received a Master of Arts degree in health education from Beacon College. He then joined the research faculty at Harvard. He has been a very special guest here on Coast to Coast, Dr. Len Horowitz. Len, always a welcome, my friend. How are you?
Great, George. Thank you so much for the reinvitation.
So much has been going on since we last talked to you about 7-8 months ago, but this emerging staph infection that is out there, I want to get your perspective. You bring to the table a different medical view on a lot of things. And then we're going to talk with you about everything that's been going on, terrorism, the so-called pandemic of the avian flu. Let's spend a little time with this MRSA staph infection. Just tell me your take on it.
Well, the whole concept of bioterrorism with a program like yours takes on a whole new meaning, and I don't mean that to undermine my love for you, your credibility, the manner in which you serve the public, but I'm going to share a different perspective.
Sure.
Completely, and I heard what you said about me not holding back, so I'm going to be true to your word, and I'm going to share with you what's really on my heart and my mind about this thing. The concept of bioterrorism is expanded in this particular sense to what we're witnessing on this program. You've just heard from Dr. Phil Tierno with regard to what the mainstream concerns are, and you're not going to hear that from me. You're going to hear from me a completely different perspective, and that's consistent with what's called the Hegelian dialectic. You present a thesis, you follow it by something completely different, and as a result, you get synthesis. So thesis, antithesis causes synthesis, or the mass confusion. People don't know what to believe, and they virtually tune out. Turn back into television or entertainment or drugs, mm-hmm. alcohol, et cetera. And ultimately, the same old, perpetual, in this particular case, genocide. I like to call this particular topic iatrogenocide. That's physician-induced illness, as well as the mass killing and enslaving of people to drugs. And in this case, it fits the bioterrorism genre of experiences, because what we're really talking about here for the last, I listened, and I love Howard Lyman, too, and I agree with everything Howard Lyman says. He's a great guy. But in terms of the presentation that you heard from Dr. Tierno, I cannot agree on the whole issue with regard to what is taking place in this regard is fear, and it is a financial agenda. And I'm going to share with you some basic, simple documentation that you can get off the Internet with regard to who's making the money. You've got to always ask the question. And in this particular case with MRSA, it's nothing new. It is essentially another fright campaign. At the center of it is Baylor College of Medicine and their work. You heard Dr. Tierno said that the very most expensive of all the antibiotics that is able to treat this particular mm-hmm. new germ, supposedly, is lenalidomide. And this is a licensed by Baylor College of Medicine that if you begin to dig, you'll find an astonishing assortment of virtual atrocities committed by Baylor College of Medicine under the guise of public health and medical science. And we could go into those if you like.
Sure. Well, let me ask you this first line. The staph infection itself, you know, people are coming down with something, right?
There is something. But again, to state that it's this particular germ, when you could isolate virtually thousands of germs from somebody's skin, and then when you present this particular agent in a culture and then state it's because the person failed to wash their hands, that I believe the quote was 80% of the diseases could be simply prevented by hand washing. Well, I could say the same thing about pH of 8 drinking water. If people would drink pH of 8 drinking water, 80%, probably 100% of the diseases that we currently have would disappear. So the concept, and again, the thesis that was advanced was a very interesting thesis about how MRSA apparently or allegedly evolved, because in the 60s there was clearly abuse of antibiotics. I think the data is accurate that he shared. There's an absolute ridiculous abuse of antibiotics for virtually viral infections, and so antibiotics have no appropriate reason to be given for a viral infection. Physicians, you come in with anything, they give you an antibiotic script. And so that's very true. As a result of that, yes, indeed, there's a whole mutational effect that's taking place, but that doesn't focus on the big picture. The big picture is what's going on in your body and what is causing your body to become a breeding ground and or even your skin to be susceptible to these types of infections.
So basically the body is weaker for some things I'm sure you'll tell us about tonight.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's so much. I'm in agreement with regard to the hand washing, but there's so much more that a person can do rather than go into fear. And here is the biggest neglected danger and the risk of all of this. Number one is not only are you pinning the tail on the donkey, really where the ass is, you know, where the government-related and funded, literally grant is going from National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases to Baylor College of Medicine, and they're licensing to pharmaceutical companies the premier drugs to treat this hyped plague, this MRSA hyped plague, and that beyond that, you're looking at a whole other issue of lacking prevention and, worst of all, phobia induction. You've got masses of people listening to your show. Do you have any clue? I'm sure you do. You must, George. How many people take very seriously what your guests say?
Oh, a lot, millions.
Right. So tonight I can say that Dr. Tiano has done a tremendous job creating probably, if we know for certain, here's a statistic, that between 5 and 15%, and this is conservative, of the United States public suffers from phobia and phobic types of behaviors. And this type of programming does a very great job in inducing these types of fears. And I'm already meeting people who are changing their behavior. That is, I have a colleague right down the street from here that won't even shake anybody's hands anymore. He literally refuses to shake people's hands. You talked about towels, ways of transmitting these infectious diseases, this horrible new plague that you can't even see. If you have a little tiny little cut in your skin, it's a possibility that you're going to get infected and die. This was the message. It is a fear message, and it does an extreme disservice to the public.
So you don't believe that this one, because we've talked about other plagues and afflictions that have been created, and we'll get into that a little bit later on tonight. Definitely we have to talk about the avian flu. You don't believe that this situation, MRSA, is as bad as some of the doctors are saying. However, they haven't really gone public with it yet, Leonard. That's what I'm confused about. They haven't exploited it yet.
Well, it's being exploited because it's captured your attention.
Well, yes, it has.
You read the press releases that I'm looking at in front of me. Quote, new type of antibiotic tackles hard-to-treat pediatric infections. Another one, broad-spectrum peptide inhibitor B-lactamase identified using peptide array from Baylor College of Medicine. And again, when you read these things, what you realize is who's funding it, and now you've got National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases granting the Baylor College of Medicine group, which we're going to talk about who they are and what they're about, and you're going to be nauseated, folks, when you hear what these people that have been perpetrating this fright, literally, and what, again, it's best described as a psychological operation for non-lethal warfare to intoxicate the public, get them to take all these drugs, manipulate the population so that the pharmaceuticals sales go up. And that's a standard genocide. Genocide defined in Webster's as the mass killing or enslaving of people. People are frightened to death. That's a form, a subtle form of behavioral manipulation, and that's a subtle form of enslavement. And then when you begin to piece in the pharmaceutical aspects and the cost, I mean, we're talking billions of dollars here. Dr. Tiano did a good job in talking about the millions of pounds, 25 million pounds agriculture use of antibiotics, 50 million pounds unnecessarily, 3 million pounds in medicine. Well, you know, that's a lot of money. And, you know, like when we look at, for example, Cipro, for the alleged sure. anthrax scam, that was $700 for a 6-month supply, 60-day dose. This was, again, when you think that you could prevent these things, as I said, from simple lifestyle changes, and you talk about the CDC not informing the public accurately, they don't spend anything. Less than 1% of their budget goes to prevention, health education, health promotion. They call themselves Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC. They leave out the prevention in CDC, by the way, and that's appropriate because they are not engaged in Centers for Disease Control. They're involved in Centers for Disease Creation, for fright creation, for behavioral manipulation, for pharmaceutical expense induction. This is exactly what we're looking at. This is a manipulation, and I appreciate your offer to come on the show and give people another side. And folks, I sincerely apologize if what you're going to feel tonight is a bit confused. My intention is not to confuse you, but I think what you need to do is really look, search your heart, understand what's going on socially, culturally, and financially in these kinds of situations, and then begin to make your own decisions based on all the information and evidence that you're compiling.
Make sure, Len, we talk about this wasted vials of smallpox vaccines, which our government has purchased over the years, and what's become with those. We'll put that on the shelf to talk about tonight.
And, you know, it's really good that you're doing this show from the simple perspective that so much of it focuses on Texas, Baylor College of Medicine. So many of the diseases, including the mad cow disease that you covered with Howard Lyman, all of this involves a vaccine agenda and a pharmaceutical agenda that largely centers around Baylor College of Medicine.
Okay. Now, this all started for me maybe about a year ago when I started getting emails and special messages from people who were saying, look, I've come down with some kind of infection. I've got something. This is strange. We can't get rid of it. In St. Louis, several schools now. I know the St. Louis Rams football team has come down with something. So are you saying it's, one, not as dangerous as some are saying, or that it's really not occurring that much?
It's really not occurring that much. It's probably not as dangerous as they're making it out to be. Again, when something like this hits the news, and by the way, it's very easy for Baylor College of Medicine and the licensing group that has developed the expensive antibiotic for this particular germ, very easy for them to make national headlines. They simply have to dial a couple numbers from advertising agencies and basically get their press releases out. And the media picks it up. Why? Because, again, the newspapers and mainstream television, particularly, are heavily funded by the pharmaceutical advertisers. The pharmaceutical industrialists on Capitol Hill are premier in their power. The lobbying organization that the pharmaceutical industry has is unsurpassed. The bankers don't beat them. The petrochemical cartel doesn't have the clout that the pharmaceutical cartel in the industry has. So you're looking at easy to get a new fright out to the public. And by the way, again, when I mentioned that this is part of a revolution in military affairs, what's called non-lethal warfare, I know you're familiar with that mm-hmm. topic. Psychological operations are what's called C2W, command and control warfare. That is central. Propaganda is central to pulling the wool over the American people and anybody's eyes that you are literally taking out. You're infecting them, exposing them, intoxicating them in various manners. They're running to their doctors. You heard what Dr. Chiano said.
He run,
said to somebody,
run.
You should run to your doctor. Run to the medical deity, and he's going to create your physical salvation. You know, this is part of a psychological operation for command and control warfare, and it's warfare against the people. People are being commanded. They're being controlled. They're being manipulated literally to an early grave in most cases.
How do we know that the MRSA, this infection, is not part of some kind of biological test on all of us?
Well, it could be. And, you know, again, that's a part of a service, and a great service that you render is the fact that, yes, indeed, you have these pharmaceutical companies contracting with these universities, additionally funded by your own government agencies, which ultimately produce mutant hybrids of the worst assortment. And I've got some fuel for the fire for tonight. Yeah, I'm looking at what we published in the book Healing Codes for the Biological Apocalypse on page 271, which is a Baylor College of Medicine's own research paper from the Huntsville prisoners that they were infecting with the following array. We're going to talk about Asian flu tonight. Well, at the top of the list, they infected 500 inmates in 1968 with the Hong Kong flu. They were developing, with 37 more inmates, a potential vaccine for the influenza flu, rhinovirus, adenovirus, again, another strain, a different strain of Hong Kong flu, equine, the horse flu.
The equine encephalitis, right?
Yes, exactly, again, which is a relative of West Nile. Now, mycoplasma pneumonia, of course, raises its ugly head in this list, and, of course, I know you're educated to know that is the premier factor that causes all the symptoms of AIDS and this respiratory flu-like illness that is ongoing for months. People are hacking and coughing for weeks, if not months. And again, multiple antibiotics of various kinds cannot kill what Dr. Lowe from the Armed Forces Institute of Pathology published in his patent, which basically is funding not simply the Armed Forces Institute, but also academic organizations that he's affiliated with, for this agent that not only causes the symptoms of AIDS, but antibiotics can't effectively treat to get rid of this flu-like illness. So, yes, indeed, this is happening, and yet we've done a show, our past show talked about various products. What came to mind was, if you're looking for an antibiotic for your skin, that product I told you about on the last show, Tetracil. There's nothing like it. It has no relationship at all to what the pharmaceutical industrials have been producing. It uses the energy virtually of the cosmos, the basic innate energy of the universe, to zap literally any pathogen with a nitrogenous group. Most pathogens have the nitrogenous group on the surface membrane. It zaps it, electrocutes it, the thing explodes. You want a skin preventative against infectious diseases of this nature, that is an awesome product, very inexpensive. You don't have to go out and pay hundreds of dollars. This is like a $23 product. And so there's so much that the public needs to understand instead of the basic same old, new plague coming. You got to fear. You got to be afraid. You got to run to your doctor. You got to run to get vaccinated. You got to take this new medicine. Man, I'll tell you, this is a culture in which I choose not to live anymore.
When we come back, Leonard, let's talk about the avian flu, the so-called pandemic, which, as you know, I do not believe in. We'll get your take on that as well. Okay, we're back with Dr. Leonard Horowitz, and make sure that you visit his website, tetrahedron.org. It's linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Len, any more websites, or is that the main one for you?
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. They get a lot of downloadable files that are free for people to look at this type of industry, the way in which germs have been manipulated and propaganda has been issued in order to make a lot of money. This is let me read just for example. This is from the Baylor College of Medicine's release fairly recently with regard to this antibiotic that Dr. Tierno had mentioned.
Sure.
It says here, quote, this particular inhibitor that they've produced, quote, describes a way to exploit the properties of this blip, as they call it, in order to identify new compounds that will be effective against antibiotic-resistant bacteria. The antibiotics market is approximately $23 billion worldwide and growing at a rate of 10% per year. As more and more current antibiotics become obsolete, the fight against bacterial pathogens, those products that will be effective against multiple antibiotic-resistant bacteria, will gain market share. To get more information, contact the Baylor Licensing Group. And another article says that they're funded, the grants, from the National Institute for Allergies and Infectious Diseases. And if you want to know where AIDS came from, we'll entertain that relationship.
Let's talk a little bit about the avian flu. I do not believe that it's going to be a pandemic. I've had Dr. Mark Siegel on the program. He does not believe it's going to be a pandemic. He believes this is hype. They're trying to push vaccines and Tamiflu when it is not effective in fighting this minimal disease right now. You know, we get one or two cases every other day, and people are panicking. Leonard, is this, am I right here when I say it will not be a pandemic? I'm sticking my neck out here.
No, I support you completely, and I agree wholeheartedly. If you look back, again, I know we did a show on the book Death in the Air.
Yes.
Well, if you look at page 84 of Death in the Air, it says a similar ruse was orchestrated a few months later. This is the first time that avian flu, that I am aware, that avian flu was mentioned in the context of a fright, the modern fright. And it was it followed, in my historic accounting here, the same type of industrial espionage and sabotage that CIA Director Woolsey talked about when he said, quote, with the end of the Cold War, the CIA must enter into an era of economic or industrial espionage. And what you had was Tyson Foods at the time. This is 1997, December 23rd. Associated Press reported that a 60-year-old woman had died of, quote, unsuspected bird flu, or suspected bird flu. The U.S. government immediately announced it would halt all chicken imports from China in a move to curb the spread of a virus. Now, excuse me, one old woman, probably completely immune compromised by pharmaceuticals, dies, and it's a suspected bird flu, and the entire United States federal government immediately halts chicken imports from China? Well, it was a Tyson move. Don Tyson chicken. Basically, you wouldn't have had President Clinton. He's so politically powerful. He was made Governor Clinton by Don Tyson. When he was President Clinton, then ultimately, that's when you had, you remember Hillary Rodham Clinton made $100,000 virtually overnight in the futures market?
Yeah,
with the beef.
Yeah.
Well, that's a Tyson scam again. It was Don Espy was the agricultural secretary who gave that tip to Hillary. And so you've got to look at what's behind the hype in the news. Somebody's making money. And in this particular case, the Asian flu, again, and I've documented a number of times when this type of flu fright with the Asian flu, and or it could be next week, it could be again like the foot and mouth disease where they've got to slaughter the cattle in a certain country. And then it could be next week you'll hear again with regard to the chicken influenza or the mad cow disease. And you have to look at what's taking place on Wall Street. Who's vying to take over what company? And that's what I've done in the book Death in the Air, in that short section, where I've literally tracked this type of fear-mongering, media manipulation, public persuasion, and then ultimately legislative persuasion. And you know, if the public listens to this program and then tomorrow everybody calls their legislators and say, you have to do something about this, you have to give money for vaccines, you have to give money for halting whatever imports of whatever infected whatever, that's what's going to happen. And the guys on Capitol Hill, I don't trust them, I'm sure any more than you do, and because I've been there, I've seen what they do, and I'm appalled, and that they're on the take, and it's very beautifully depicted on one of the downloads that we have for free on the, I think it's the healingcelebrations.com website. When I went to Capitol Hill, testified briefly on the vaccine mercury contamination issue, bringing autism to our nation's youth, and there in the center of the Capitol building, you've got the dome of the rotunda, and there's a picture in a section of it of the mercury god, the Greek god of mercury, coming down with the medical insignia in his right hand, the logo for the pharmaceutical cartel, and in his left hand he's got a gold bag handing it down to legislators as they're penning legislation to favor the pharmaceutical cartel. This is the way the game is played. And anything else, I was there. I spent probably 5 years on the road lecturing on infection control to physicians, nurses, dentists, and hygienists. And I told everything that I was telling the same story that Dr. Tiano was telling with regard to these types of risks. But there's a whole other picture that I was not aware of. And I'm aware of it now. And I'm compelled by my love for humanity and my service to the Creator to tell it like I see it. And I praise you for bringing me on.
Well, you know, Leonard, the CDC says on their website, and you and I have talked about this before, that 36,000 Americans die every year on the average from the quote-unquote flu. And I think that's distorted. But you know what? But let's assume for a moment that number's correct. And again, I don't think it is, but let's assume it is. 36,000 Americans die, they say, of the flu every year. If 500 Americans died of the avian flu, they would say that this is an epidemic in the United States. It's all over for all of us. We're going to buy $200 million worth of vaccine. And we need everyone to get vaccinated. They would blow it out of proportion if just 500 people died of the avian flu, maybe even 100 people. Why is it so distorted?
Because, again, there's a financial as well as a political agenda engaged in this aspect of medicine. And again, the best term is iatrogenicide because that is explicit. It's physician-induced mass killing and pharmaceutical enslaving of the population. And again, I know that you're aware that my mother was one of those victims that bought into the flu fright, get your flu vaccine. My mother died of Guillain-Barré, like many, many, tens of thousands in the early, in the mid-70s, 1975, swine flu epidemic, alleged epidemic, where they got everybody to line up, and they didn't even have a well-tested vaccine.
My doctor, you talk about irony, my doctor who has retired, he came down with that affliction from a flu shot as well. My own doctor.
I speak to literally hundreds of people over a month or two that tell me they got a vaccine and they have been sick ever since.
I do not, and you've heard me say this on the program, Leonard, I don't get the flu shot. I do not tell anybody that they shouldn't. But I do not get it, and I have not had the flu, thank God, in any number in my entire life. You know, I've come down with a fever for a day or something like that. But, you know, I don't get the shot, and I'm fine.
Yeah, you know, and you know, the doctors and the scientists will say, well, that's just circumstantial evidence. You know, it's one case. You know, but I am seeing this over now, what, almost a dozen-year career dealing with this kind of thing. And I'm telling you, thousands and thousands. In fact, the number one reason why I continue to do some of the road work that I do and lecturing is because I go back to these places 2 or 3 years later when parents have had second and third children. They got the first ones vaccinated. The children are autistic. They're chronic ear infections. They're chronically sick. And the parents, the whole family is really very, very financially burdened and socially burdened with the sickness. Then the second and third children, because they heard me, they changed, they didn't get vaccinated, and they thank me, George, for all the people out there that they could thank. They thank me. What a blessing that is. And I'll tell you, that's the greatest tribute, and I keep going because there's so many people that have articulated their joy and thanks.
Some people who do not agree with you, some people who may not even like you, have classified you as a very foolish medical conspiracy theorist. What do you say to them?
You know, I'm not speaking to everybody. There is a remnant. There's people with eyes to see and ears to hear truth, and there's some people that will never see it. And you're never going to get rid of those people. And you're never going to get rid of the remnant either. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm extremely satisfied speaking to those who have ears to hear.
A little bit after 9/11, we had the very horrible, tragic anthrax situation and scare. Five people, if I recall, died from that, from some sicko or sickos that sent this out. you, if I remember you telling me correctly, didn't the FBI come and chat with you about this case?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I became a suspect in the anthrax mailings. Get this. I was the first investigator, scientist in the world to go to the FBI to alert them that they have a major anthrax scam unfolding. I was watching ABC News with Peter Jennings. It was a Wednesday night where he closed. This was 2 weeks after September 11th. He closed the show by saying, "Tomorrow we're going to cover anthrax. We're going through your fears one by one, day by day. Good night." And I watched the show the next day, and it was an infomercial. Virtually all of it was an infomercial for Cipro. And I knew Cipro was completely untested and totally expensive, very experimental. The Bayer Corporation stood to gain a tremendous amount of money. On Wall Street, they were announcing that they had horrible financial situation. They were on the verge of bankruptcy. Cipro sales would bring Bayer, if you know the history of Bayer, links you right back to the Nazis in Germany. Bayer Corporation was the premier pioneering organization behind IG Farben, Germany's leading industrial organization. For all practical purposes, they are top officials for the top SS. And so now I go to the FBI. It was 1 week before the first anthrax mailing was announced. I not only wrote and called the FBI, I literally, because they didn't respond within 24 hours, I walked into their headquarters in northern Idaho, where they allegedly have a Nazi threat, and I said, "Here is all the evidence. You've got to, you better get on the ball on this one." And so it was about 7 days later that the first anthrax mailing was announced. So the day that I walked into the office was virtually the day that the anthrax was mailed.
Okay.
And so they came to me ultimately because they didn't want to listen. And it was my work that brought the New York Times reporter William Broad to the Battelle Memorial Institute and the CIA's top secret program called Clear Vision, where Battelle had manufactured the mailed anthrax. And so as soon as we did that, ultimately the entire thing dropped from the media. But when the FBI came to my house and they interviewed me for the better part of 2 days, at the end of the second day, when they wanted to make me a suspect, they didn't want to follow the leads that I was giving them, which were very legitimate, dealing with the global industrialists.
How could you tell that they were looking at you as a suspect? I mean, did
because
they
told me that.
They did, okay.
Yeah, they told me straight out. They told me, you know, you've been lecturing all over. We have one suspect in our group of suspects that says that that we should attend to your work because I've got information for them. And so rather than attuning to the fact that I tipped them off a week before it happened, they didn't want to talk about that. George, at the end of the second day, I said to them, "Listen, you're not really interested in following the track that's really obviously needs to be followed. All you're interested in is wasting my time." I said, "You've got a couple options. You've got guns right now. You can pull out your gun and shoot me. You can take me away, handcuff me, and take me to jail. Or you can leave me alone and stop wasting the taxpayers' money and my time."
Which is what they ultimately did.
That's what they did. I hadn't heard from them since.
My God. You know, when I introduce you, you are extremely vocal. You don't hold back. You are a man of medicine. You degree in dentistry, of course. You're not a specialist in cardiology or anything like that. But you're a man of medicine now, and you do not like what you see. Yet you have come across some doctors that you like, haven't you, in your career?
Oh, wonderful ones. Just, you know, I'm so thankful for so many of the wonderful doctors that I've met. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to have a good surgeon if you're broken and in a traumatic injury, an accident.
And need to be repaired.
There's
yeah.
nothing wrong with most of the doctors. Here's the tragedy. Myself included, most of the doctors that went into – actually, that's not the truth. Here's the truth. 30%, this is a statistic – 30% of the physicians that go to medical school, as well as dentists go to dental school, about approximately 30% of them are humanitarians. And I thought when I got there that everybody was going to be a humanitarian. And my dean at Tufts University told me, no, that's not the case. We only choose a certain amount of humanitarians. We want some engineers. We want some other technical people, you know. So, you know, that was interesting. But I know that most, far more nurses, far more of the women, the hygienists, they go because they simply love people. They want to serve and provide a service that is a blessing for people. And this is the tragedy, that you now take those people and you put them into a medical hazing process, traumatic-based learning. You think about hypnosis and behavioral engineering and mind control. When you place a person in, for example, a 48, 72-hour shift in a hospital emergency room, and you have those residents go through those rotations, and on top of their stress and their anxiety and pressure and financial pressures included, you feed them with pharmaceutical propaganda. At the end, you have a virtual Manchurian candidate, a mind control slave of the pharmaceutical cartel. They call themselves medical doctors. The society sees them as medical deities, and that's what this is. This is a Babylonian cult, and that most people are totally blind to it. And it's a sad situation how people have been not only manipulated at the effect of these drugs and prescriptions, and at the effect of all the new viruses and plagues that they've brought on the planet, but that the people that are doing this have no clue. They're virtual, hypnotized, mind-control slaves.
Stay with us, Leonard. I can't believe we've gone through this hour already, but we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to give you now an opportunity to chat with Dr. Leonard Horowitz. He doesn't hold back, nor should you. So whatever questions you have on your mind, just get ready to fire away. I'm George Norrie. Now, his website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, tetrahedron.org. I'll spell it for you, TETRAHEDRON.org. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Leonard, are there any vaccines out there that you would recommend, or any vaccines out there that you would simply say, well, okay, if you're going to take any, at least go ahead and take these?
No, there are not. And George, I have an apology and a correction. That stock tip came from Tyson Foods chief counsel, James Blair, when ESPE was agricultural secretary. And the point of that whole section that we did was the fact that when you look at the takeover of Hudson and the meatpackers and IBP, they were all – these are the people that were hit with these frights and the new germs that were supposedly going to threaten people. They were stock issues that the Tyson company was looking, for example, with the IBP. Tyson was offering $30 a share to buy IBP stock valued at $24.11, and it was only accepted after that fright. It was a $3.2 billion deal. So this is what we're really dealing with. That with the avian flu, the issue was the chicken farmers, the mass slaughter was the Tyson competition, as Tyson was vying for a market, a world monopoly over the poultry industry. So I apologize for the mistake. But
well, you corrected it. That's the important thing.
So, no, there's no vaccines. When you look at vaccines, there's not one single one that is free from the following garbage. Vaccines contain, these are not the active ingredients. These now are the short list of the stabilizers and sterilizers that you would not want to put into your body if you knew it was in there. It includes formaldehyde and formalin that you preserve corpses with, MSG, foreign RNA and foreign DNA. You've got mercury. Now, they say that they've taken that out for the children. I sincerely doubt it. They're using the stockpiled ones, and they're shipping the rest overseas to neurologically impair children overseas. How nice. Aluminum. Isn't that interesting? You talked to Howard Lyman with regard to mad cow disease, and it's linked to Alzheimer's. And the obvious 5 to 13% of the public that has Alzheimer's disease actually have the protein prion that you spoke about. But the aluminum is definitively linked in the scientific literature to this mental disease. And so you've got aluminum in so many products, but particularly in vaccines, troubles me, as does the deodorants, the cans, all of that aluminum is causing a neurological impairment of typically the entire population. And as part of the picture of, if you were looking as a population controller for a way to dumb down the population, you would turn to something like fluoride in the drinking water, like Hitler did, and you would also turn to something like aluminum. Well, those are the non-active ingredients in vaccines. If you want to know the active ingredients, you're looking at foreign proteins from bacteria and viruses. You're looking at the source of those being chicken embryos, bovine fetal serum, monkey kidney tissues. With smallpox, it's cow pus. You might as well add eye of newt if you want a real witch's brew, which is what you're taking. But at least then you know you're taking something like that. But I would not recommend any vaccine for any sane person.
Okay, to the calls we go with our guest, Dr. Leonard Horowitz. We'll pick it up by going east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good.
I've just been, I'm doing good, too, listening to your guest. I recently, like in the past year, got out of a microbiology course, and I agree with some aspect with your guest, but and I do agree it's the pharmaceutical company's problem or fault or however you want to phrase it, but I don't think it's in the same aspect that your guest is stating. I think they're not educating the public. Even the term MRSA, average public person wouldn't have a clue what that meant. You know, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. All that means is you've got a bacteria, Staphylococcus aureus, that is natural to our human flora that's resistant to penicillin. Methicillin is a derivative of penicillin. So just say it's an antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And in my microbiology course, there is a difference between a normal Staphylococcus aureus and the one that's resistant to penicillin in the makeup of it. And so I don't think they're trying to scare us, because it really is out there. And what's happening, and I feel they're not educating the public enough on teaching them to take the course of the antibiotic until it's gone, like a 10 or 14-day course. People take it for 8 days, and they feel better because they've killed most of the bacteria. And so they stop taking it. And meanwhile, you get the few that they didn't kill are becoming resistant to the antibiotic, and now we can't kill it with that. So it's the same thing with, like, tuberculosis. I know it's been in the news where tuberculosis is becoming resistant, and they get this super tuberculosis. And so now they're having to come up with new drugs to kill the super tuberculosis, but it really is out there, and I don't think they're trying to scare people. I think they need to educate them.
Well, all right. How about a question?
Sure.
Go ahead.
Well, the question is, I just don't agree that they're trying to use scare tactics, and I do agree that they're trying to make money. It's like they won't let us buy drugs in Canada or whatever at a lower cost, but their main goal is money. But I don't see why he would say that they're trying to scare us when these bacteria are real and they're killing people.
That's all right, Leonard. I'll let you react to that.
Yeah, no, I hear the rationale, and the rationale itself is accurate. In fact, these germs do exist. There's a lot of germs out there. I would highly encourage you, if you really want to get a fuller understanding of microbiology, to get out of the Pasteur realm and get into the Bechamp realm of pleomorphism, where you begin to realize that the germ is nothing. The terrain is everything. That the way that the body chemistry is really determines whether you're a suitable candidate for an infection. And your body literally becomes a breeding ground for bacteria, viruses, fungus, yeast, when your pH becomes acidified, which is the major cause, majorly caused by the lifestyle risks sold to us via the mainstream media. Caffeine, nicotine, sugars, refined carbohydrates, chocolates, alcohol, pharmaceuticals, and lots of red meat. The only other one that I would add is stress. And, of course, in our society, that's a challenge right there for everybody. But you have the capacity to avoid some of the other things and learn how these microbes really do not have a home in your body. if you simply change your body's chemistry and you do the right things for yourself. So with regard to the fright and the political and economic agenda of the fright, I disagree completely. I think that it's extremely naive to believe today that the extremely wealthy pharmaceutical companies are not using every possible means to make money and control population. I think that there's so much evidence. I would highly encourage you to read the book Death in the Air, Globalism, Terrorism, and Toxic Warfare. I think that if you read that and began to see what these people are capable of, I literally published a 16-page full-color gallery of the Illuminati's artwork. These are the people that literally control the pharmaceutical companies. And when you see the genocidal art that depicts precisely what they're doing, you realize there's so much manipulation going on. And people do respond well to fear-based messages. They respond less well to love and nurturance. They will, you know, you've heard the saying that most people don't like to go see the dentist. They don't go until they're in pain. You know, and so the threat and fear of pain will possibly, in a small percentage of the population, send people to preventative practices. And that's one of the issues is that we have in healthcare and in public health. People tend to do more to avoid pain through a fear threat than they do to gain pleasure. And that is a challenge to health education and health promotion. But these companies not only are capable of scamming the public and creating these frights, I have seen it and documented it dozens of times now over a dozen years. And I think it's really naive to not see that.
Back to the phones. And also, Leonard, if you're on a headset or a phone, back off just a little bit for me, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there. Going once. Hello. There you are. I could hear her in the background, but she is not meant to be. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ken from Dallas. You hear me?
Yeah, you sound like you're on a speakerphone. Want to pick it up?
No, I'm in a security booth, and there's an echo here.
Oh, okay. Okay, we'll go with a quick question, then I'll let you listen on your radio.
Okay, we talked about the government pharmaceutical conspiracy, and I was thinking about the military and pharmaceutical. We know the military has developed biological weapons against foodstuffs, and I wondered if the mad cow disease is a part of that, and, if he thinks that that's all part of the pharmaceutical industry being tied in with that as looking for weapons to use against our enemies and then drugs to prevent our population from those weapons. How does he feel about that?
Okay, we'll get your reaction to that, Leonard. I happen to like Howard Lyman's take on this, and he's an expert on mad cow, that it's just a very horrible contamination, and it's the way they're feeding our cattle. But your take, Leonard.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. You know, I'm looking at, again, the studies from Baylor College of Medicine, and the caller has a very keen sense that it's a military type of issue. Paddock Biomedical Systems of Houston, Texas, James Baker, the third Secretary of State under George Bush, was a co-owner, and according to reputable sources, George H.W. was a major shareholder. These are the people that worked with Baylor College of Medicine, tested the mycoplasma agent that somehow found its way in the vaccinations given to the Gulf War troops that were en route to the Gulf. They came back after the first Gulf War. Out of 700,000, approximately 200,000 were infected. And in 1998, Joyce Riley, myself, and Garth Nicholson and Louise Richard from Canada published a video called Gulf War Syndrome, the Spreading Epidemic Cover-Up, where we shared that it was going to be spreading throughout the public, and this flu-like illness that now people are hacking and coughing for weeks, if not months, is associated, just like Dr. Lowe says, from the Armed Forces Institute, his patent says it, that this is hacking and coughing for weeks, if not months, multiple antibiotic resistance. You have virtually extremely difficult to knock out. Now, we have a product that I mentioned that can do it, but it's not a pharmaceutical. It's an herb. And that, I'm just, again, appalled at what takes place in the pharmaceutical circles that relates to military manipulations. By the way, military is typically the experimental subjects for these vaccine studies, for these new drug trials, as well as prisoners. And so you really begin to see that the military personnel are not treated as they should be treated, with the respect, with the nurturance. They're injected, infected, contaminated, and they come back and they're sick. And then, as you've heard, and I know Joyce Riley has been the premier hero in the United States that I'm aware of.
Yes, she
that,
is.
You know, basically shared that the fact that the veterans associations and the hospitals are not really serving these people. They're putting them on psychotropic drugs and telling them they got a mental problem and post-traumatic stress syndrome from the battlefield. This is really incredible manipulation.
Next up, let's go to you. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Danny in Montana.
Hi, Danny. Take it away.
All righty. I want to get right to the point, and you're on it, Dr. Horowitz. This hacking, coughing situation where whether it's induced in a veteran or whether it happens to us here at home, we're all getting it, and we're running into situations where we're almost normal for periods, and then if you do anything that weakens your immune system, or like getting sugar or alcohol or something like that, or undergoing a period of stress, then an attack on all of your internal organs occurs. And then if you do everything just right, you can ward it off. My question is, how do you get rid of this permanently? That's the question. That's the bottom line.
Okay. I'm going to recommend a couple things, actually three things. One is get the book Healing Celebrations, Miraculous Recovery Through Ancient Scripture, Natural Medicine, and Modern Science. Healing Celebrations. It goes into the five steps: detox, deacidify, boost natural immunity, oxygenate, and bioenergetics. We've talked about that on the last program. And also get the following two products from the HealthyWorldDistributing.com website, and I'll give you a toll-free number with George's permission.
Yes, please.
Okay, there's a product that's called the Cure-All Flu and Lung Infections. It's the Flumonia Factor Formula with that contains the following four herbs: Lomatium Root Extract, which is a native North American medicinal that blows out that mycoplasma. It is the only thing that I know that knocks mycoplasma for a loop. And here's my warning. You've got to be well hydrated. You should start to do a fast before you take this stuff, because if you're not well hydrated and you're intoxicated, then what's going to happen is you kill off the mycoplasma in the cells, then your blood is going to fill with the dead body parts from mycoplasma, and you're going to get sick. It's called the healing crisis, or in medicine it's called Herxheimer reaction, and we've seen it time and time again. So lomatium root extract is awesome for getting rid of what you've got, along with the other components. Devil's Club. That's not Devil's Claw or Cat's Claw. It's Devil's Club. And the two rosacea plants, one is very familiar, rose hips, a lot of vitamin C. Mega doses of vitamin C are great for typical viral infections, great antiviral and an immune booster in general, as well as a medicinal herb that's the serviceberry. That's the formula. Now, here's what you need to do for this today's infection. There's a tertiary and certainly at least a secondary factor besides the mycoplasma that's made its way around the United States. You need to treat that with the black elderberry. So order a bottle of black elderberry and the Flumonia Factor. There's a 2-ounce bottle of the Flumonia Factor formula. It'll run you about $69. The black elderberry is far less expensive. It's a 1-ounce bottle. Take the two together. And within 24 hours, you should start feeling much better. Within 48 hours, you should, if you're well hydrated, be almost healed. And by 72 hours, I believe about 95, 98% of the population are going to be almost back to normal. And certainly by the end of the week, you'll be totally fine. You'll get rid of that cough. And here's what you need to do to diagnose whether you're infected with a mycoplasma. take your body temperature. If it's low, if it's chronically low, fluctuating below 98.6, you've got this immune suppressive thyroid inhibiting infection called mycoplasma. And the only thing I know that knocks it out is the Phlemonia factor formula with lomatium root extract. Here's the toll-free number. Ready? 888-508-4787. That's 888-508-4787. That'll bring you to healthyworlddistributing.com or the order line.
All right. We'll be back to take final phone calls with Leonard Horowitz in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. What do you think, Leonard, of this Korean cabbage called kimchi, which they think can fight most flus?
Oh, well, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. Because, again, there's so much in nature's bounty that is the capacity to heal people. And I think that that's, of course, when you look at pharmaceuticals, a lot of the medicines have been produced from the botanicals. And so it doesn't surprise me, George.
All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Hi there.
Good morning, George, and good morning, America. I'd like to ask the doctor there. I'm a follower of Dr. Beeler. Food is Your Best Medicine, his book. Gloria Swanson, I corresponded with her back in the 70s as well as up to her death in the 80s. But she stated that in Mr. Beeler's book that the improper use of foods causes disease, proper foods cure disease. And he states that we do know that the preferred source of nutrition is food, as fresh and as whole as possible and natural as can be obtained, and not dead products standing on drugstore shelves. I'd just like to know what's the best prevention regarding to keep the body whole, spirit, soul, and body?
Awesome. Awesome question. George, with your permission, I'll answer it.
Sure.
Well, again, the holistic approach, body, mind, spirit, again, I totally endorse. The concept that food is your greatest medicine, I'm totally engaged in my own life. I do as much organics as I possibly can. I do a lot of juicing, and I have my staple is a product called Green Harvest, which is an awesome product that I virtually live off of, that in organic fruit juices. And the nutrients and the micronutrients in the body, it's very important also when you're thinking and realizing that you get your sustenance from nature, that you've got to have in your gut. We've been talking about pathogens, and we've talked about antibiotic. Think about the concept, just the word, antibiosis, antibiology. What about probiotics? What about pro being in favor of restoring life and being in harmony, body, mind, and spirit? Well, probiotics also for the gut. Assimilating the nutrients out of your gut requires the correct pathogens in your gut. Well, guess what happens when you take all these antibiotics? You blow them out. That's why so many women particularly are getting yeast infections, because they've been on antibiotics. Their normal gut flora is blown out of their bodies, and now they've got yeast growth, and that's also associated with the fact that their body chemistry has been acidified from not only the antibiotics and all the pharmaceuticals cause body acidity, like I said earlier, but also lacking of good pH-adjusted water. We should be drinking a pH of 8. 80% of the water we drink should be about pH of 8, because your body has to be between 7.3 and 7.6 pH in order to ward off these infectious diseases. So if you do the right thing to your body, just like you're saying, nature's bounty is awesome.
Dr. Horowitz, the proper proteins, the proper fats, the proper carbohydrates, and its proper quality form, and it's in its proper proportion, and then the right form of cooking it is very essential. Quality, quantity, and then the right form of cooking it is important in keeping the body whole and at its optimum level of maintaining wholeness.
I agree. Absolutely. All those things are important.
He's on. He's right on. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is Jim Capehart, Chowchilla, California.
Jim, go ahead.
And I want to thank you for the program. I enjoy it. I've been on the phone over 2 hours trying to get through.
Oh, my God, you're kidding me. Well, then you're entitled to your question.
But, basically I was wondering if the doctor has ever used colloidal silver or colloidal gold.
Yes.
He knows anything about them.
Yes, I do use it. I use it sparingly in my own body. I don't recommend people take it every day because of the disease called Argyra.
Yes.
I've actually met people who've taken it every day for various illnesses that they said that it's helped, but they turn into virtual tin men from the Wizard of Oz.
They get gray, don't they?
That's right. They turn silverish gray, and they can't get rid of it. And, you know, it's not particularly pleasant. And so I recognize it as a broad-spectrum antimicrobial, and I do the same for garlic. Garlic, I honor garlic. It's awesome. Vitamin C, as I said earlier, is a fabulous antiviral if you're worried about the flu. It's a fabulous immune booster, natural. Rose hips, the plant is called Rosa Amelanthia alnifolia, and Rosa Nutcana is what's in that Flammonia factor form that I mentioned earlier. Rose hips is Rosa Nutcana, awesome source of vitamin C. Those are the things that I do for, besides when I get sick. If I'm sick, I will then potentially turn to a colloidal silver. I use a right frequency generator. I use the Miracle 6, and as a matter of fact, I love that machine. It's an awesome, easy-to-use machine that's medium-priced, that applies a whole array of right frequencies. If you're a health professional or if you're an average layperson, you can effectively use the right frequency generator. We use, besides the silver, we use the healing, various hands-on spiritual healing practices. There's, again, the five steps: detox, deacidify, then normalize immunity. We use a product to normalize immunity. We use a product called Advanced Ambritose, and oxygenation is vitally important. We use a product called OxyAdvantage for that. And then, again, last but not least, you deal with bioenergetics, realizing that we're spiritual beings and that literally physical manifests out of the spirit. You've got to deal with everything from hands-on healing and prayer to the right frequency generators. That's my approach. It's not simply a pop a magic pill or take one particular product in a holistic approach. It involves many things.
Which of the colloidal, what they're recognizing as colloidal silver, have you been using? There are two of them.
Yeah, there's various colloidal silvers. There's actually many different sizes of colloidal silvers. We have a colloidal silver generator. It's a little one that we use for purifying the Aloha Hot Pool out here in Hawaii. We throw some of that in there. You would be amazed at how you can keep your spa water purified without adding the chemicals, the harsh chemicals, if you throw in just a little bit of what you can make within about 10 minutes with a little, you can get them at various places, do a search on the Internet, and you can come up with a colloidal silver generator. There's also a product that we carry that is a very good quality colloidal silver that you'll find on the healthyworlddistributing.com website that is what I will use sparingly on occasion. But again, I involve myself in the holistic approach, as I've mentioned, those five steps.
What do you think of chelation therapy, Leonard? Do you like that?
Yes, chelation, again, vitamin C is a good chelating agent. You want to pull out the toxins out of your body in many ways. The easiest way to pull toxins out is, and if you're dealing with children who've been vaccinated, you want to start simply with the clay. The bentonite clays will pull toxins out. In terms of chelation, you don't have to run to a physician necessarily. And most physicians don't do chelation. You find chelation therapists a special breed. They're very well educated typically. They're advanced in the holistic approach. They're great guys by and large. But you don't have to run there immediately. You can do some simple things. such as the fast that we recommend, the old Stanley Burroughs Master Cleanser Fast. We've got that for a free download on the healingcelebrations.com website. You can learn how to make your cayenne pepper spiked lemonade and fast on that. That'll pull toxins out. You can do some herbal detoxification teas, and then that's an additional way. And then, of course, you can turn to some of the nutrients and the micronutrients that will also begin to pull these toxins out. But chelation, if you're really sick, if you've got some real problems, I would highly encourage you to check in with a good naturopathic physician or an MD mm-hmm. who is aware of chelation and these types of approaches.
It can eat the calcium in your arteries, right?
Yes, we can pull that out. You can pull a lot of things out. There's a product called Med5 that's a very interesting new product that pulls the calcium plaques and the garbage off of your arteries for cardiovascular disease and recovery.
Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast Around the Air. Hi there.
Good evening, George and Dr. Horowitz.
Hi.
George, could I sneak a quick conspiracy question for you?
You can.
I'll be fast. You had a guest on several months ago on the 9/11 conspiracy. He was talking about how a flight had landed at the Cleveland Hopkins Airport and the passengers had to be switched on planes, and it was reported in our local Cleveland plane dealer, and he was also mentioning how it was on a website the week before he came onto your show, and then it got taken down after he had spoke nationally before your show, and just we never heard anything on that because that seemed like a real smoking gun. And just to keep that in mind, maybe future as we
sure.
talk about 9/11. And thank you, Dr. Horowitz, you're just a mountain of information. I wanted to ask you, please, President Bush the other night on the Addressing the Nation made a humorous remark about cloning. And I wanted to ask, could that have been to mask that cloning stem cells is really what the pharmaceutical company's influence with this administration really is?
Yes, absolutely. Great question, vitally important. I would highly encourage you to get the book DNA, Pirates of the Sacred Spiral. It's an excellent book that deals with the fact that DNA is not what you think it is. It's not simply a protein synthesis device or template. It is actually an antenna to spirituality, to antenna to the creator. It's awesome. And the cloning issue is extremely important. The whole genetic manipulation issue, creating life, that man has the audacity to think that they can create new life forms. And that's what they're doing, and have it the audacity in thinking that it could be better and this is how you're going to achieve optimal health and it's social wellness. I mean, this is insane. The Bush administration, out of one side of their mouth, they said that they're opposed to genetic cloning, being the good Christians allegedly that they say they are. And then on the other side, they allow about 93 different types of stem cells and cloning cell cultures to be engaged with research institutions around the United States. And in fact, it's going on all over the world. But it's really paying political lip service to saying that they're doing something for the right wing, when in fact they're just it's a free-for-all for the pharmaceutical cartel.
All right, let's go up to some final calls before we're out of time. International line, where are you calling from?
Hi, George. I'm calling from Vancouver.
Sure.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Horowitz, it's been a while since I read your Emerging Viruses book a number of years ago, but I've got a couple comments and a question at the end. First off, preface everything by saying I've got a 19-month-old daughter, and I'll go into the fact that I do believe that this avian H5N1 virus is real. I've read too many articles, scientific journal-published articles, looking at various drugs, studies that have been done on the virus itself, mutations, showing that Tamiflu is effective in mice, it going as opposed to 5 days, going to 8 days. You know, there's just too much information. There's too many people that would. There's no doubt that there's a cover up. There's cover ups in your book, Emerging Viruses. You start the book off with a UN document signed by Secretary of State, what was his name back then? I can't remember off the top of my head, but anyhow, what I wanted to ask you about was looking at everything with these viruses and looking at H5N1 specifically. I am prepared if this thing hits. I have got food stocked up. I've got the antivirals that I could get. Rolenza, you can't get in Canada right now. And I'm looking at the natural side. You brought up probiotics before. I know that lactobacillus is highly effective. And that was, it's interesting also with lactobacillus that it's been shown to help with the gut. And that's where with this H5N1 virus, it does affect the intestines and lower lungs. So the probiotics is one thing that you've already covered, but I'm looking at something else now that the American military has done studies on, and it's called beta-D-glucan, and I'm just wondering if you have any information on that.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's exactly. I mentioned a product earlier called Advanced Ambritose, and that is something that I've seen a lot of benefits and heard from a lot of people who have been benefited. Again, that's beta-glucan category of the plant in this case is aloe. The extract is from the aloe plant, and these types of beta-glucans combined with the mushrooms, the shiitake mushroom, we have a product called Immune Advantage, which is an excellent immune-boosting product if you're looking for one of those. And that is, again, there's a lot of research that speaks to the benefits of that particular botanical.
Okay, very good. Leonard, just a few more moments to go. So we've got packed phone lines, but we don't have time to take them all. Where does all this take you next, Leonard?
Well, I'm so thrilled to be coming out in about 9 weeks with my next book. It's my 15th, called Walk on Water, George. And I'd love to get you the first copy
Please.
Of it and get you the whole write-up on it. I think it's going to be a historic event when we go on coast to coast and share that material with people. It's going to blow people out of the water.
Well, you know, since 1997, when I was doing my local show in St. Louis, you have you've been with me, and you continue to provide insight, and at least you give people the opportunity to open up their eyes and ears to other things that may be going on, Leonard, and that's important.
Well, I'll tell you, I so respect your fine work, too. It's so great to have somebody like you in a position like you're in with the, you know, basically the ears of 5 to 7 million people a year, a night, to be able to receive the truth on the level that we talk about it. It's such a blessing to have you, and please continue doing what you're doing. And I'll look forward to seeing you, if not at the event that you're going to be at in Los Angeles, but some other time.
I will meet you there. I'll be there. Okay, Leonard, you take care.
Love you, George. Thanks a lot.
All right, be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Take care. For Dan Galante, I almost forgot the name of my staff. For Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Day. Now, they think it's an omen. Something's up. Yes, friends, you're all being replaced tomorrow. Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasaur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.